We've been in the Sermon on the Mount and focused on prayer and fasting. You know, this whole idea of the Sermon on the Mount is really a highlighting of his kingdom and his kingdom people and how it's counter to our world. We talked about the Beatitudes. We talked about salt and light. We talked about distinctives of anger, loving your enemy, and how we are to live differently than the world lives because of who we're holding to. And last week, that also represented this idea of prayer and fasting, not to do it to gain approval of the world, but to do it in secret, really for God being the reward that we get to serve. And so this week, we're continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount in a section of Scripture today about treasure, God and money. So if this is your first week here, heads up, we're talking about money because Jesus talks about it. This is probably my first time in 2 years, which I want to continue to do a better job of talking about this aspect of our faith because everything's his. Everything is ultimately his, but we need to steward it for the glory of God, not the glory of self. And so we're going to focus on treasure, God, and money today. And so last Sunday, I wasn't here. I've challenged my team to take Sundays off, to not see this place. Although they love you, I want them to rest every once in a while to make sure, hey, we're not just doing this thing called church, but we're actually being the church. And so rest is a priority for us as a people, but also us as leaders and staff to serve you. And so last week, I took a bit of my own advice and wasn't here seeing your lovely faces, although I would love to be. My wife and I had planned to go on a get-out-of-town sort of trip. My wife got sick on Friday into Friday night, so we had to pivot. And so we did a little bit of a staycation. And so while some of you were here faithfully worshiping on Sunday morning, I was in downtown Tyler while you were worshiping geocaching. Does anyone know what geocaching is? Some of you. I had never done it before until this last Sunday. Like I said, while you were faithfully here, I was on the top of a parking garage in downtown Tyler looking for treasure, right? This idea, it's a word, they call it the world's largest treasure hunt. And so my daughter and I got some time together, again, while you were worshiping here. And so we went and we were like, hey, this is going to be, like initially I thought this is going to be pretty like weak. And I'm like, we'll make it one or two and then we'll be like, hey, we're done. But as soon as we got to the top of the parking garage in Tyler and we were looking around and then Aurora spotted where the clue led us, she was hooked. And so it was one or two things ended up turning into 11 different stops around Tyler. And those 11 stops took us to 4 different Whataburgers around Tyler. And I have yet to eat Whataburger. And no, I will not eat Whataburger. I don't know. You guys have your own things. We loved the time together. And we ended up, the chase is what fed us, right? It was fun. And just the clues that they gave us, and we got about 50% of them. But it was a fun treasure hunt. And as I was thinking about this passage, it was a beautiful tee up for what we are about to see that Jesus is speaking to about this idea of treasure and really the hunt our hearts are on for treasure. And what our hearts truly treasure is what we will chase after and feed, and how that chase reveals ultimately what we worship. Either God or money, two masters, and you can't serve both. And so we are going to unpack what Jesus said to the people and what he's speaking to us through his spirit today. It opens up with this idea of, hey, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, Jesus positions this idea of the Sermon on the Mount, this idea of treasure, right from the outset. It's another scalpel of our hearts because we are a people who live in a culture that loves and holds money and treasure seriously. The word in the Greek is thesauros, which means treasury, storehouse, to put up in a storehouse. It's where we get the word thesaurus. Remember those things if you're in the 1900s, kids, right? It's storehouses of words. And it's the context that Jesus is speaking into. He's speaking into material things, collected treasures here on earth. And riches to the Jewish people that he was speaking to were the land that they had, the cattle that they owned, the precious metals, oil, wools. And what they used to do is put those in pots and store them up because they didn't want anyone to take them. Those were the things they stored up. They collected those treasures, and that was their wealth. That was their riches. That was their treasure. And that is what people valued and treasured. And he commands the people that he's speaking to not lay them up, to not let that be their heart's motivation, to not put these things on a pedestal of earthly treasures. You see, we don't treasure money and stuff in our society today, do we? We don't do that at all. Not at all. You know, if anything is representative of our time and space where we find ourselves as a culture, it's this picture for us. Do you guys know what this is? You know what this is? This is the new toilet paper of COVID, right? This is an egg carton. Like, do you know how frustrated people are that eggs have doubled in price from $2 to $5 a dozen? Like, our culture is outraged. You know, they're blaming presidents, former and current, that this is their problem. They caused this, right? Like, my wife, my wife consumes more eggs than any other human being I know. And so our wallets have been hit by the increase in price of eggs. And there's even people who are stealing. 40,000 eggs were stolen in Pennsylvania because of how much eggs are worth and how much people are, like, wanting eggs. And our culture is outraged. Like, that's an issue for our culture. But really, it's not only an issue for culture, it's a revealer of our hearts and what we worship. When we have less eggs, we have less money, which means we have less treasure, which means our hearts get worried. Look at this picture on the screen for us. This was on Tuesday on the Drudge Report, the front news headline. This was all the things that were on there. Tariffs changing by the hour. It's absolutely insane. Fox has stopped dropping. Trump manufacturing recession. People are scared. This is a picture of our time and space in which we find ourselves in. Like, is my retirement going down? Will I have enough money? I mean, I'm just coming out of college. Will I be able to find a job? Will I have enough? How will we go on that next vacation now that we've wanted? You know, I've wanted to move from a 3-bedroom to a 4-bedroom, and how am I going to possibly do that now? Like, this is what our hearts strive after and we get worried after. Have so, or are you there if you're being honest in some way, shape, or form? And we go into debt so much to keep up with the lifestyle more and more and more. We become enslaved to stuff. Like, I'm not saying not to be concerned. I'm not saying not to steward money or save money. But are any of you anxious at these headlines or frustrated by these egg prices that you have to pay? Or maybe you're scared. Do they shake your identity? Why do these things happen in our hearts? Because we treasure earthly treasure. We treasure earthly treasure. And what Jesus says is, hey, don't lay up for yourself these things. Don't pursue them with your heart's motivation. Don't find your end, your being in this stuff, because what happens to this stuff? Like these eggs, we eat them, they go away. These cars that I want, they eventually rust out. The house that I have desired, the food that I eat, the trinkets that I buy, the thing that I bought 2 years ago that's now worth a tenth of the price, they all end up at the same point, the dump. When we die, what happens? Someone else inherits them, and ultimately, after the generations, they pass away. It all fades. What Jesus is saying to his people is, hey, don't. This is a command. Don't make your whole life's posture about having this stuff bigger, better, more. Because it fades, it breaks. But what does Jesus say his kingdom people are positioned for and their way forward. What is that? He positions this idea of laying up treasure in heaven. Like when I read that statement first, as I continued to unpack scripture, I'm like, what in the world does that mean? Like, treasure in heaven, that's a good thought, Jesus, you know? And I was like, okay, where do I find out what that treasure is? And I thought a good place to start was looking at Jesus's life. Shocker, right? How did he position his life as it relates to money? Do you ever see Jesus in the scriptures and the gospels worried and concerned about money or stuff? Like, I mean, he talks about it, but he talks about it in relationship to this world and not for it to have our hearts. But he's never worried about where he's going to lay his head. He's never worried about what money he has or the riches that he's going to gain. No, he's never worried about any of those things. If anything, look at who betrayed him, who controlled his money, Judas. How'd that end up? Right? Did he say to the disciples, hey, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to give you $1,000 and you go into the next town, share about me, and then stay at the places. No, he says, hey, don't bring anything. Trust me. I will open the homes to you, dust off your sandals if they're not hospitable towards you, but just trust in me. And what did Jesus, his whole life, what was his posture? Everything was the Father's, his time, his giftedness, and all his stuff. The money-wise that he had was collected up for the ministry of the gospel going forward. His whole life was available for God to be used. And so when we think about that, that love for others is what he chose to store up, and that doesn't fade. You see, Jesus invites his kingdom people into that story. You see that picture that I showed before of all those families? In my time in any church, I've never been a part of more meal trains in my entire life than in these past 6 months. You see, being able to give a meal to people that are in life stage transition, big moments, struggling moments, that's treasure that doesn't fade. When we get to partner with St. Paul's like we did back in December, I remember so much of your generosity on display, and I got to be a part of delivering some of those meals, carrying meals out to the families that use St. Paul's. And there was one story of Anne, who as I'm walking these boxes of food out to her car, she starts crying. I'm like, didn't think this was about to happen, but it did. And Anne said to me, hey, I'm crying because 5 years ago I was where you are delivering meals to other people's cars. And I have just been blessed by the people of grace and their compassion and generosity towards me where I'm finding myself in life. Like, she was breaking down crying. That's treasure that doesn't fade. When you give to God's plan A for the church, which is the church to the world, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to steward these lives, to be discipled, that's treasure that doesn't fade. When we get to partner with local partners, be it the partners that Grace gets to partner with, such as the Fostering Collective or even Boathouse or other ministries that we get to serve in our community, that's treasure that doesn't fade. Even serving these kids, like I mentioned in Matthew 10:42, Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Giving and serving our families and kiddos, that's eternal, that doesn't fade. Sharing the gospel freely doesn't fade. Reconciliation doesn't fade. Extending love, it doesn't break down. And this is the treasure of heaven today. Jesus is speaking to these people to pursue. That's the treasure of heaven. Jesus is speaking to his people about pursuing with their lives. And so as I approach this time and I are gathering and teaching, the question for them and us today is this: if you are to do an accounting of where you find yourself today, what are you treasuring today? What are you treasuring today? If you look at your bank statement, if you look at your credit card, if you look at your calendar, what is that speaking that you treasure today? Things of this earth? Things of heaven? Listen, I'm not saying we have to live a poverty gospel. I'm not speaking about not having things. I'm just speaking against those things having us, having our hearts. What are you treasuring today? You may say, well, part of it's a little of both. Part of my heart is serving and treasuring God, and other is it's money in this area. Hey, heads up, you still have a divided heart. And Jesus can reorient and rescue that part of your heart today. Because here's a truth for us, because where your treasure is reveals what you worship. Because where your treasure is reveals what you truly worship. And what Jesus says next is important in understanding this. He goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You see, here's the thought that Jesus is speaking to in this section of verses. What you worship, you will ultimately feed, and what you feed grows. What your heart worships and treasures, is you will ultimately feed, and what you feed grows. You see, I have firsthand experience as it relates to this topic of love of money and worshiping money. My story is one of, hey, I had parents that were divorced, loved me dearly, but was product of divorce at a young age, and I was the child support in between. Hey, have you gotten that child support? Hey, here's your child support. Give it to your mom, right? They loved me, but that was just a part of my story. So fear and worry from a young age as it relates to money was in my mind. And so I also was a hustler as a kid and wanted to collect basketball cards. I had thousands of cards, Pokemon cards too, don't judge me. But I wanted to store them up, and I saw how much money they were worth, and I started trading them and getting more money, and it fed a part of my heart that was informed by, hey, I can make more. We were a family of eight. We had six kids underneath one roof, and my mom said, hey, we had more than enough, but everything we needed. But she said, hey, you want that car? You had to choose basketball or getting a job at 15. And I was like, I love basketball, but I was like, I'm working. I'm getting my car. Slowly but surely feeding this desire of bigger, better, more. Went to college for finance. Again, speaks what I loved about and what I was gifted towards, and came out in 2008, 2009, when there was the Great Recession, where there was a loss of jobs, people were losing their homes, and so worry and fear informed my heart more and more and more. So I thought just working harder would get me to a different place. And so for those next 6 years of my career, I worked my way up from the bottom of financial services all the way up to VP of a credit union by the age of 26, making over six figures. 65 to 75 hours a week working, slaving for the house, the car. And even from there, I was a good Christian boy, so I gave 10% because I was like, I need to do good things, right? I need to live this out. So I gave faithfully 10%. Ramsey Coach, hey, I want you to be a part of financial peace if you struggle with things. But the thing about Ramsey is he changes habits. He doesn't change hearts. And so if you are burdened by debt, be a part of that. Run to it. But he doesn't change hearts. And so I can say that for that time of my life, up until the age of 29, I was just chasing, worshiping money. And I fed it, and I fed it, and I fed it, and it only grew darker and darker because it had more of my heart. Until the age of 29, when I came home from church on one Sunday, and I put my hands on the counter in the kitchen, and I couldn't move. I was having a panic attack in my kitchen because I was working at that time close to 65 to 75 hours a week, just slaving after getting more stuff, and I said, something's wrong. God graciously got my attention through my own brokenness and stopped me there. But he didn't leave me there. He graciously, through a long road of staring at what Jesus did, reformed my heart from a love of money to the love of God. I started to stare at the gospel of what God had so radically was generous with Jesus and sending him to us. From Jesus, from the best of places to the lowest of places among humanity, incarnated himself. And as he grew, Jesus didn't seek honor, acclaim, riches, or stuff. He sought to share his entire life with his friends and the lost. And he didn't worry about money himself, but he talked about it a great deal, like I said, because he knew its influence over our hearts. And that everything is time, talents, and treasure were positioned to glorify God. And in Jesus was the life, and his life was the light of men, it talks about in John. And what that made me realize is this, that the Spirit stirred my heart deeper and deeper into the gospel I didn't deserve, and I fed my heart through his word and his people. Money and stuff became less of a God to me day by day. Me and my wife's question as it relates to our finances became less, hey, how much do I have to give? To Lord, how much do I get to keep? It's a different question. Because why? I'm worshiping God now in that area instead of money. So how much do I get to keep, Lord, for and steward for your glory to invest into things? And the more I realized that my money is God's, not mine, and he directs how it is to be used, the more freed I became, because the more satisfied I became in the gospel. Why? Because I was worshiping Jesus more and more in this area of my heart, and my heart was being directed by light now, not darkness. You see, that is what Jesus is saying here. The eye is the lamp to the body. If your eye is dark, it's due to a worship problem. And if it's dark, you'll feed that darkness, and it will only grow and grow and grow, and it would eventually break you, and it eventually breaks. But if you're seeing Jesus and what the greatness of what he has done for us in the incarnation, his perfect life, his crucifixion, and his resurrected power, here's what happens as the Spirit stirs our hearts and we say, God, it's all yours. He opens up our hands, which means all our stuff. And the light shines in our hearts, and that's worship. You see, our mission at Grace Community Church, and we say it almost every single week, is to be and make disciples for the glory of God. That will always be our mission. One of our core values in getting there is what? Worship. You'll see it right when you walk into this little foyer area over here. Worship is on the wall. And here's what we mean when we say that word. Worship is the appropriate response to the awareness of God. It's how we respond with our time, talent, and treasure to the greatness of what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and how he calls us to live and submit to his Spirit, to live our lives today and where he placed us. And we do that in singing songs. We do that in faithfully hearing and responding to the word, in being obedient to baptism and communion, by positioning our whole lives as a means of worship. So when we talk about giving, it's an act of worship. Listen, guys, God doesn't need your money. We faithfully steward to what God gives us as a Grace Community Church. We don't need your money, but we want your worship. We want your right worship to God. And we as a church budget off of a best guess of what God faithfully opens your hands to. And my prayer for us is that we are the most generous church, because we serve the most generous hero in Jesus, and we recognize that together. So our only response is to say, hey, God, here's my time, it's yours. Here are my giftings, God, it's yours. Here are my finances, God, tell me what to keep and what I sow into the kingdom to make your name known, not my name. But it's not because we want to guilt you into giving. It's because we want you to see Jesus, and through that lens, you worship this way. So that's why we talk about it every single week. We desire for you to rightly worship God through your whole life. So we say, here's my finances, Lord. They're yours. How much do I keep? Here's my land, Lord. How do I use it? Here's my career, Lord. How do I steward it to make you known? Here's my time. How do I spend it? Here's my business, Lord. How can I make you known in it? That's the worship God is asking for. That's why we ask you to be generous, not for your money, but for your right worship. So as I close today, I want to put before you two simple questions. First one being this: are you worshiping God or money today? Are you worshiping God or money today? Because you cannot worship both. Either you be a slave to one, or you'll be a slave to the other. One leads towards right worship, one leads towards breaking down. Are you worshiping God or money today, if you are being honest? And the second question I have for you is, what is your next faithful step towards Jesus in this area of your life? What is the Spirit stirring your heart as it relates to your next faithful step in worship in this area of your heart? Maybe you're straddled with debt and you're like, I can't even think about giving because everything's going out the door towards some payment, something. Hey, that's why we're offering financial peace. Run to it tonight. Rearrange your schedule around it tonight for a period of eight weeks, just going through how, Lord, do I get freed from this and go in a process of that. Like I said, we're not about getting your money without, we're about stewarding and equipping you to understand how God has given it to you to steward for his glory. So run to financial peace if that's you. Or maybe you are call yourself and you member with us, but you never give as it relates to financially to the equipping and the discipling of lives here. Maybe your first step is to actually say, I'm going to go online after the service and put on a recurring gift of some sort. Maybe that's your next faithful step. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying is the Spirit causing you and motivating you to do that? Do it. Maybe it's to actually go to your neighbor who you have seen struggling and is buying their groceries this afternoon. Whatever it is, what is your next faithful step as it relates to your heart in this area of your life? Because guys, we don't take it with us. I want you to be good stewards. I want you to save. I want you to do these things, but I don't want these things to have your heart. And Jesus was saying, my kingdom people don't. They hold to me and hold open hands and say, how would you what would you have me keep? And to steward that well. Because we serve the most generous God, church, and he gave that which was most precious to him in Christ, and he didn't hold back. And he says, we respond and do the same. How do I make him known with what I have, my time, my talent, and treasure for his glory? Because what we treasure, we will ultimately feed, and what we feed will grow, and we will ultimately seek the treasure of heaven and the treasure of this earth, and we can't serve both. Who are you serving today? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your Spirit works to reveal to our hearts the depth of what your word means to us and where we find ourselves in life. God, I thank you that you created us in your image and so generously allowed us to see your glory. And God, when we sinned and wanted to give ourselves glory, you didn't stay at a distance, but you sent that which was most precious in your Son to us. You pursued us. You incarnated yourself. You lived perfectly because we were supposed to live perfectly. You died for our sins. You paid our debt in full, and you rose again. And not only that, you've generously given your Spirit to us. That as we submit to him, and we submit to what the word is doing through his Spirit's movement, God, you open our hearts and minds and live generous lives. Let that be known of Grace Community Church and RUB family, that we're generous with our time, we're generous with our treasure and everything you have given us for your glory and your glory alone. And if anyone does not know the generosity of God in Jesus, I pray they come forward and they share. I want to know this Jesus who gave everything for us. And God, I pray that we are transformed in this area of our heart as your Spirit lovingly scalpels the heart and purges us of our own kingdom and then exchange it in for yours. Because we want to see your name reign through our community, through our families, and through our own hearts. God, we need you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.